This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information. It's time for a community interview on MPR.
This morning I am talking to Tony Burt, who is the chair of the committee for the Wellington Folk Festival. Good morning, Tony. How's it going?
Good morning, Hugh. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Now, I suppose, you know, by way of fair disclosure, I should point out that I am also on the committee for the Wellington Folk Festival, but this is not really a venue for like hard-hitting journalism where I rake people over the coals, so that probably doesn't matter too much. The reason that we're talking this morning is that the Wellington Folk Festival is not too far away. It's coming up mid-October. And if people here in Palmy want to go to a large folk festival, this is probably their best option in terms of, you know, travel time, I'd say. So I guess by way of setting the scene first, can you talk a little bit about the vibe of Wellyfest in particular?
Oh, look, Wellyfest has got a fantastic vibe. Hugh, we're out at Brookfield Outdoor Education Centre out the back of Wainui.
So that's a scout camp, essentially.
It's a scout camp, yeah. And it's a fabulous setting, great for camping. And we've got multiple venues. You know, there's always something happening. And it's just a warm, friendly, family atmosphere and vibe. And, yeah, everyone loves it. And it just fills you up at the end for, you know, spending that time at the festival.
Yeah, I haven't managed to bring my family to the Wellington Folk Festival for a variety of reasons too boring to go into at the moment. But when we were living in Dunedin, we came as a family to the Fiery Flat Folk Festival, which is a similar thing but over New Year's. And the notable thing about that, from the perspective of it being a family-friendly festival, is that, you know, your kids sort of disappear off into this self-organizing tribe of children and turn up when they're hungry. And it's kind of amazing that they're able to do that because that's not an experience that kids get quite so much in this day and age.
No, absolutely. And there's just such a warm, friendly vibe around the festival as well. And, you know, there's some really great values that come through the folk community. And it's great to do that and to see it and to feel it and to share it, you know, and because it's not all about music, you know. Music's why we go there, but it's really all about that sort of togetherness and sharing and families and people. And that's what folk is, and that's what folk music and folk music festivals set out to instill.
Well, I mean, one of the big appeals of folk music as a musician is the sort of immediacy of kind of being able to pick up an acoustic instrument and have a go. And that's been my experience of Wellyfest in particular, is that you can kind of wander around with an instrument in hand and there'll be something going on that you're able to join in with. You know, like there are people spontaneously playing music and often that's a thing that you can join in with, and people are very accepting, you know.
It absolutely is, and it doesn't matter whereabouts you might be on that sort of spectrum of being a musician or an artist, you know, everyone's on that sort of same journey. And so it's very inclusive, and everyone's very much aware, you know, that people are learning and people are joining in, and there's so much music and jamming. The jamming is fantastic. You know, don't come along to the festival expecting to get any sleep. Leave that till after you get home on Monday.
That's the one. You budget an extra day when you come back to just crash in a heap. So I think one of the things about folk music as a genre is it's not really a genre. You know, it covers yeah. as a term, it covers a multitude of different genres, which is sort of related in some ways, but are not necessarily the same thing. And the reason that I mention that is that that kind of diversity is really reflected in the lineup at Wellyfest, and that sort of doesn't matter which year you're talking about. But do you want to maybe talk a bit about the lineup this year, so people can get a sense of the broad territory that the festival covers?
Yeah, and just to go back on the point that you were mentioning about the diversity, you know, here in New Zealand in Aotearoa, we are diverse, you know, as opposed to other places around the world where the origins of this music come from. So that sort of eclectic, you know, convergence, you know, makes us it's quite unique, or you know, relatively unique here. And so when we look out for the artists that are going to perform and put together a program for the festival, you know, we look to that diversity, you know, and this year we've just got some fantastic acts coming along, as we do every year. And for the first time since 2019, we've been able to introduce international artists back into the fold. You know, we've had some fantastic years where we've had showcased a New Zealand artist, and that's been stunning. But it's great now to once again share back with the international artists. So we do have from Denmark, Himmeland. And Himmeland are a fantastic act, about four or five piece, you know, and that's just music from Scandinavia, and it can get pretty wild, a lot of percussion, just a diverse, wonderful performers, Himmeland. And also from the UK, we have Richard Granger, and Richard Granger is up from Yorkshire, and he's a songwriter. Of just a wonderful, wonderful songwriter, and more in the folk traditions. So Richard was going to be coming a few years ago and couldn't make it, then COVID. So finally we've got Richard back. We've also got Turkey the Bird. If anyone's seen Turkey the Bird, they're a trio from up Taranaki way, and they just put on a fantastic show. They've been touring around the country, and they've just had standout performances. So we're looking forward to them. And Adam McGrath, what can I say about Adam? He's a folk singer. He's a yarn spinner. And he has been described as a national treasure.
He's interesting because he's a window into this sort of Littleton scene as well. There's this kind of loosely connected group of folk and country adjacent musicians all tied up with the performance and recording scene in Littleton outside of Christchurch.
Yeah. And Adam wears his heart on his sleeve and as well, you know, and he also just joins in. And I think this is probably, at this point, it's probably worthwhile saying also, is that you don't just see these artists on stage, you know. One of the big things about the folk music is that the artists, when they're off stage and they're just hanging out, they'll be in the jams at 3 and 4 in the morning, you know, if they've made it that far from their other duties.
No, absolutely. And you know, there is something really special of, you know, wandering into a jam at midnight and going, I'll just play a song. I'm feeling it. It's fun. And then you look over and someone that you saw on stage, you know, a couple of hours ago is taking a solo on this thing that you started. It's really, really cool.
It is, you know. And so that's three quite diverse acts. And then, of course, we look at Celtic music. And we've got Trisk. They're a band from Wellington. They are fantastic musicians, and so they've got music from Ireland, from Scotland, from Brittany. They've just really sort of cover all those bases. And then, of course, we can't forget bluegrass. You know, being a bit of a bluegrass player myself, you know, we have Hot Diggity, and Hot Diggity is an all-girl bluegrass band. And if you haven't had the opportunity to see them, they are absolutely stunning. Fantastic harmonies, fantastic players, just top world-class bluegrass, you know, and right from New Zealand. And they put on a standout show, and their costumes and it's just stunning. And from Wellington, we have Beans Marie's. And they're a singer-songwriter from Wellington. And I've saw Beans perform in Wellington. And, yeah, just wonderful, wonderful artist. And so we're really looking forward to Beans being part of the festival. And also Mehana. Gee, I look at this lineup, and there's some there's going to be some fantastic dancing. If you want to be square dancing, whatever. Mehana, for example, they have been here before, but they from Aotearoa, and there's a mix of Eastern and Western folk spice, Romanian gypsy music. It's got gypsy rumba, and so they're just a fantastic
I think, I mean, the key thing to get across, right, is there's a huge amount of diversity. Also, my experience going to these festivals, I mean, often I'm on the crew, so I have a situation where I'm sitting in no matter what's on because I'm running the sound desk or helping the person who's running the sound desk. But the key thing is, even if these names don't mean anything to you, I can guarantee that going in and seeing these people live will, you know, in 80%+ of the cases, just blow the top of your head clean off. Because, you know, even if the style of music isn't necessarily your thing in the ordinary course of events, seeing people do this stuff live is just astounding. Particularly with the kind of traditional instrumental styles, there are people doing things with acoustic instruments that seem completely preposterous to me.
And it's also just that incredible diversity. It's like a roller coaster of music and stunning performances, stunning artists, you know, and it can go from the sort of outrageous dance to the sort of the most sublime moments that are just festival highlights, you know, and it just covers the whole gambit. And it's very encouraging and amazing to see and experience. You know, and music that people may not have heard before, you know, styles they haven't heard before.
Yeah, exactly. I would almost liken it to something like a film festival in that sense, except that you don't have to pay for each act separately, which I guess puts it ahead of a film festival. But, you know, it's your chance to check out traditional Celtic music or traditional Scandinavian music, which might be something that you would never otherwise encounter, to get it in that live context.
So it's worthwhile noting that while they might perform on the stage, there's also other opportunities to interact with the artist as well. So they will all be doing workshops, for example. So if you have an interest, for example, say in singer-songwriting, you know, then Beans and Adam, will really cover that off. If you're interested in, I'd like to sort of figure out how to do harmonies, you know, the Hot Diggity will be doing a harmony workshop as an example, and all the artists will be sharing their talents and sharing their skills, you know, with all the festival goers in these workshops and just jamming as well.
Now, I do hope that we have drummed up a bit of enthusiasm. But one of the points we really wanted to make was that if you are contemplating coming along to the festival, now is an excellent time to go and get a ticket because early bird sales are open and that's worth jumping on.
So the early bird sales are open through Eventfinder, and that will be until the 1st of October, that Sunday night of the 1st of October. There will still be tickets available online after that up until about a week or so before the festival, and then we've got gated tickets as well. That's for the whole weekend, or if you want to come for part of the festival or just on one day, we've got a great highlight showcase. And also, it's worthwhile noting that we're really taking a lot closer look at our youth programs, because it's not the festival is not just about the main stage performances. It's also about families, and it's about encouraging young people into the music and into folk music scene as well. And so the subcommittee has been working on the youth program for this year, and it covers from 5 to 18 year olds. So they've got workshops and concerts and sausage sizzle. And so that you've got groups of instructors who will be running workshops through the weekend with the youth program. So that's really, really worthwhile checking out. As another part of encouragement, we've got a number of awards this year.
And now, I mean, one of these awards has been like a recurring part of the festival for quite a long time. That's the Joan Pryor Award. But but I understand that there are some new ones this time around as well.
Yeah, so we've got the Joan Pryor Award, and there are six entrants into that. And we also have the Walker Trust, and the Walker Trust has been set up to promote Celtic music. And they are offering $200 awards in two age categories, and that will be for artists that perform at the festival in the Celtic and tradition style that they are promoting. There'll be details on the website about who to contact to enter it, or you can actually enter there over the festival weekend as well. There's another one which I'm putting up, which is the Kettlewink Video Award. And what that is, and it's a sort of, and it's open up to the age of 25 for those performers. But what that will be to have a live performance video of one or two tracks that can perform here in the studio, to give a really to showcase your live performance when you're looking at going into festivals and that, and so forth. It's always good to have a live performance calling card so people can see, those selecting can see who you are. And this is just giving an opportunity for one artist to record that.
Magic. Well, look, we are coming up on time for this interview, I think. But thank you very much for talking, Tony. You've been very generous with your time. If people want to find out more, get tickets, those sorts of things, what is the best way to get Wellyfest stuff generally on the internet?
Well, the best way to do that is to go to our website, which is www.wellingtonfolkfestival.com.
Excellent.
I believe.
Yeah. And is there is some social media stuff as well?
There is. So that we do have stuff on Instagram, TikTok, and, of course, Facebook. And so we'll be posting highlights and updates through Facebook. And if you go to our website and you sign up to our email list, we also give updated information, push updated information out to all those on the email list as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Tony.
You're welcome. Thank you, Hugh.
And now, by way of giving you a taster, here's a track from Himmerland.
been listening to another community interview on NPR. Also available on demand at npr.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.